Very interesting international story. I woke up this morning and was having a look at the BBC website, and I saw that Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, Yemen and Libya. Yemen and Libya have odd governments, but the sort of officially recognized governments of those two territories have severed diplomatic ties with Qatar, and they're shutting down airspace and they're kicking out Qatari citizens from a place like the UAE, telling them you've got 2 weeks to go, and there's a mutual withdrawal of diplomats. And in terms of South Africa, the obvious impact is that the people who fly Qatar Air might have to reroute, might not be able to fly. We're going to check on the reality of that very shortly. But let's just have a look at what has been happening up there and what it might do to the region. Andre Colling is analyst manager with a company called Red 24. This Andre, at least nominally, is about a belief that that Qatar is supportive of terror, gives succor to terror groups, allows IS to operate with impunity from its territory. The Qataris have denied that. Is there clear evidence?
Nothing, John, nothing, listeners. Yes, that's the main reason that's been given by the Saudis and their allies. But behind us all is sort of the dispute between Qatar and Saudi Arabia about the political future of the region and of the contemporary Middle East. Qatar obviously supports Hamas in the Gaza Strip. They've supported the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt before. And Al Jazeera, which is based in Qatar, is a critic of Saudi and Bahraini policy towards their Shiite minority populations. So there's definitely more at play than what's being presented by the Saudis, the Egyptians, Bahrainis, and you mentioned a number of items recently.
This is quite extreme in terms of what quite often what happens when two countries are disagreeing. They call an ambassador in for a démarche, or they might, in relatively extreme circumstances, say you must all your consular diplomatic staff must go back to the country of origin. But to do what some of these countries are doing and saying all your nationals must leave our borders within 2 weeks, I mean, that's quite extreme.
It is extreme, and it was unexpected. This has happened before in a sort of a lesser way. In 2014, a number of countries, including Saudi Arabia, recalled their ambassadors after the Qatar refused to pool their support for the Muslim Brotherhood. But what it does seem to me, at least now, at an early stage, is that Saudi Arabia, Egypt, etc., are taking advantage of a new Trump administration that's going to give them a lot of leeway. And the Saudis have been in a rivalry with Qatar for a very long time, and they likely see this as an opportunity to put Qatar in its place. Whether or not those removals, I know they've given Qatari nationals 14 days to leave, whether that will actually go ahead in the days to come, we just don't know at this moment.
All right. And the chances of it escalating, I don't think Qatar is much in the way of an army, certainly nothing like the might that the Saudis have with all the arms they buy from America and so on. Is this likely to stay purely at a level of diplomatic tension?
Yes, I think so. You mentioned the militaries don't have much clout, and it's unlikely the major powers, US, Russia, China, will allow this to escalate any further. The problem does arrive down the line if this diplomatic standoff continues for a number of months or even years. The Qatar might increasingly move into the Iranian fold, and that obviously has always been a potential for conflict, but we're very far away from that at the moment.
Thanks very much, Andre Colling, analyst manager with Red 24. When obviously reading this and going, wow, is the Middle East going to implode, explode? No, probably not. But then you start to think about local implications, and the biggest and most obvious local implication is for Qatar Airways flights, because a lot of South Africans enjoy. I mean, it is a good airline, and it is a cost-effective airline, but it is a tiny bit of geography, which means that the flights which originate Johannesburg, Cape Town, fly via Doha, and then on to various spokes in the world, generally have to cross one of the territories of the countries that have now broken off diplomatic relations. We did contact a couple of the bigger travel agent centres, and they were all taken by surprise and weren't quite sure what was happening. Guy Leach, editor of SA Flyer, do you know what's happening in terms of Qatar Airways flights and diversions and delays? Guy, good afternoon.
Hi, John. No, I think it's too early to see the fallout of that yet, and indeed the The airlines, Emirates, sorry, my voice is escaping, are cancelling their flights from tomorrow. So we haven't necessarily seen the fallout there. In terms of overfly rights, you know, Qatar's on its own little peninsula. I suspect it will be able to continue to get flights in and out. I don't think that the hostilities are going to get so hostile at this stage that they're going to try and ban Qatar from overflight rights. But I think that the real impact will be on the airline in terms of its connectivity. You know, the Qatar was the one of the three so-called Gulf super connectors, the Gulf 3 carriers, the Emirates and
Etihad.
Yeah. Etihad as well. Yeah. That really connected the world to everywhere else. But it also has a relatively significant regional airline ability across Saudi and so on. And that's obviously been affected. But for South Africans traveling on Qatar, I don't think that at this stage they need be anxious that flights are going to get cancelled.
But in terms of, I mean, you fly in there and then you're going to Venice, you're going to Munich, you're going to Kazakhstan, whatever the case may be. Generally, you've got to fly over Saudi Arabia, don't you? And you're not going to be able to do that anymore.
Well, I could fly north without a significant detour.
Okay.
Over Iraq and over Iran. Of course, they've obviously got to avoid the eastern Ukraine as well. But, I mean, South Africa managed to fly around the bulge of Africa for, what was it, 15 years or thereabouts. Again, these are not necessarily stoppers to the entire airline operation.
Okay, so it shouldn't, you maybe add half an hour, 40 minutes to your flight, but people who have booked to fly Qatar over the next couple of weeks shouldn't be panicking and starting to look and see if they can change and book on another airline.
I think that it's probably a risk worth taking at this stage, unless, of course, I didn't hear your previous speaker much, but unless the whole situation does escalate a lot more than we currently expect it to, no.
He didn't think that it, he thought that the tension would dissipate rather than increase.
Well, that's my view on it as well. I think this stuff is a lot of saber rattling. Apparently there was a Donald Trump sword dance involved. And I think that probably sanity is going to prevail, but I think the Qatar has been sort of trying to box above its weight in terms of the UAE and the rest of the Emirates and so on. And I think that they're just sort of finally trying to sort of draw a line and put it back in its place.
Guy Leach, editor of SA Flyer. It is, of course, due to host the Football World Cup in 2022, and one wonders if that is in any way threatened. There are a lot of people who believe that it was an entirely corrupt bidding process.